Hello, Father Mitch Paquin. Welcome to EWTN Live, where we bring you guests from around the world. Tonight, we'll talk about one of the core elements of society, its building block, and it's also a core of the church. That is the family. Our current culture, much of the government, some of popular science, have been trying to manipulate and control the family for many years and tear it apart. And they're succeeding, which is all the more reason for us to rise to the defense of the family with wit, wisdom, and a piercing humor from one of Christianity's most beloved philosophers and apologists, G.K. Chesterton. Joining us tonight with a great collection of Chesterton's thoughts on the significance of the family, please welcome the president of the Society of Gilbert Keith Chesterton and the editor of the book, The Story of the Family, G.K. Chesterton on the only state that creates and loves its own citizens. Please welcome Mr. Dale Ahlquist. Dale, welcome. Good to have you with us. You know, this issue of family is really serious. You know, it's something that Chesterton warned about a long time, 100 years ago. And we're seeing a breakdown in my own lifetime. We went from having about 4% of children born out of wedlock until today, where it's just over 50%. It's about 52%. And that doesn't take into account large ratios of divorce and, you know, just, you know, utter breakdown of family on so many levels. It leads to greater poverty, a lack of education. It's one of the guarantees that children won't finish school if they're not part of a family, and so many other elements. So, and that's just some of the difficulties in family. Even when they are intact, it's hard to live in family. It's a lot of work and good problems to have, but there's challenges as well. So this is an extremely important issue, as we see even schools trying to say, well, parents don't need to know if their children are going to get surgeries and hormonal treatments that would change part of their structure, you know, that would be mutilate them, basically. So what does G.K. Chesterton have to say to our mess?
Well, the amazing thing, Father, is how Chesterton saw it all coming.
Yeah.
Over 100 years ago. He saw that the family is the basic unit of society. If the family falls apart, the whole society falls apart. Mm-hmm. It's just a very basic thing that is so obvious that you have to explain it.
Yep.
And Chesterton says the most difficult thing to explain is the obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, that's why we've dubbed him the Apostle of Common Sense, because he's trying to remind people of common sense.
Yeah.
It's common sense that a family consists of father, mother, child. That's what a family is. If one of those elements is missing, you know right away there's something missing from that family. It's broken somehow. It's not a complete family. And that's the first thing that Chesterton tries to get us to understand. Family is the basic unit of society. And the things that attack the family, well, G.K. Chesterton said it was Hudge and Gudge. Hudge and Gudge, Father.
I don't know either one of those.
That's okay, because I'm here and I'm going to tell you
who
Hudge and Gudge are. He talks about this in his book, What's Wrong with the World?
Yes.
Yes. And he says there's four things wrong with the world. Big government, big business, feminism, and public education. He said that in 1910. It's incredible, prophetic analysis of what's wrong with the world. Hudge and Gudge are big government and big business. They undermine the basic unit of the family because big business cares only about individual rights, and big government cares only about community rights, and both of those combine to undermine the family rights. Big business is happy taking father out of the home and mother out of the home. Government is happy to go in and replace the force of the family and become the parent, become the nourisher, become the educator. And the role of the feminist has been to, you know, undermine the family because it's an attack on children. Mm-hmm. The role of public education has driven a wedge between children and parent.
I think one of the most interesting results of the COVID crisis in our society was, A, it showed how the teachers weren't going to be in class, and you know, this sort of got a lot of folks, especially as the pandemic was winding down, this caused a lot of consternation. But then, because parents were forced to stay home from work and children were going to school on the internet, parents were watching what was being taught. And it was quite a shock for many, many parents who paid attention. And that opened up a whole mess of problems for, you know, with the government-run schools. And this has been a very interesting development. And you see that parents are called terrorists for protesting, speaking up at, you know, parent-teacher meetings and school board meetings. But they became much more awakened. A lot of mama and papa bears started growling.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, Chesterton said that the government was given more power than it ever had in all of human history when we put the government in charge of educating our children. Mm-hmm. It's a recent development in history. Mm-hmm. Compulsory education. Mm-hmm. Everyone thinks, well, that's a good idea. Well, it is on the surface of it, except who's doing the educating? The state. Mm-hmm. And what can't the state teach? It can't teach the most important truths, which are God. You know, it can't teach the truth at all. So by not teaching the truth, what are they teaching? Just scattered bits of fragments of fact that may not even be fact. And there's nothing that holds it together. There's no cohesive philosophy. There's only an unconscious philosophy that's being taught. And it's always going to be an anti-family philosophy.
One of the things that went on in the public schools that I saw it developing back in the late 80s, it may have been going on before, I just became aware of it in the late 80s and into the 90s. Since they could not teach the Ten Commandments, the Supreme Court had made the Ten Commandments illegal in the schools. So you cannot teach thou shalt not kill. It's against the law. And though that's breaking down with this present court, but be that as it may, instead of thinking clearly about morals, they offered as an option positive self-image. They had a theory that if kids had a positive self-image, they would naturally start to act better. And in fact, that didn't happen. When they used values clarification or some variation of that, they found in studies of those kids that whichever kid had tried some measurable misbehavior, the other kid said, oh, nothing happened to him, let's try it. So that where this was tried, there was more and earlier use of cigarettes, more and earlier use of drugs, more and earlier engagement in sex, and more and earlier drinking. Mm-hmm. That just went on test after test because they can't teach right and wrong because there's no agreed upon notion of what is good and what is evil, and it keeps moving.
So since you keep bringing up Chesterton, Father, he said, if you break the big laws, you don't get freedom, and you don't even get anarchy. You get the small laws. And that's what we live with now, is these huge layers of bureaucracy because we can't enforce the big laws. Mm-hmm. And the big laws are the Ten Commandments. That's what Chesterton is referring to. And that's the foundation of a civilized society. And if we take away those things, you have to have all these millions of small laws to try to control every little micro piece of behavior. And I have to have an official there trying to enforce that strange little regulation. And so that's why we have this morass of bureaucracy. Our schools are just gigantic layers of administration.
And the laws, the number of laws increase. So whenever they pass a bill, it's thousands of pages long. It's madness.
You get the small laws. You get the small laws. Chesterton called that exactly, yes.
Yep. Now, he saw this problem. What did he suggest as some of the ways we can start doing solutions to these problems?
Yeah, it's easy to go on all day about the problems. And he was eloquent in describing and pointing out, you know, he said it's going to start with divorce, breaking apart the family, and then there'll be an attack on children, he said. He says, starting with contraception, he said he predicted contraception will lead to abortion, it'll lead to infanticide, it'll lead to sexual perversion, it'll lead to euthanasia. All the things that Pope Paul VI said in Humanae Vitae. So he called all these things. And he said, the problem is, you know, when both parents are taken out of the home, guess what? There's no family anymore. And so his solution at a cultural level and at a economic and political level is to keep the families together in economic units so that you have small family businesses. So rather than father and mother running off as wage slaves to work for somebody else as much as possible, they should have their own business. And he called it distributism. We call it localism. But the idea of small businesses actually create more stability. And you know, all the reasons for not liking a big, remote, centralized government apply to a big, remote, centralized commercial system. Mm-hmm. So if everything has to do with a provider that's far away, that undermines a stable society. It was Pope Leo XIII who, you know, introduced Catholic social teaching and the idea of more widespread ownership, people controlling their lives, the things that affect them the most. The Catholic Church teaches about subsidiarity. The things that affect you the most, you should be in control of. At the same level, you have to have solidarity with your fellow believers and the people who have the same interests as mm-hmm. you. And that's what creates a local, political, and stable force. So it all has to do with bringing it back home. The home is the center of our lives.
Yeah.
And it should be the center of our spiritual lives and of our economic lives. And it should be the center of culture. It should be the center of life. Chesterton says the inside of the house is bigger than the outside of the house. And we have that just the opposite. We think all of our activities should happen elsewhere, to the point that, you know, we have what we call bedroom communities, where the only thing people do in their house is sleep there.
Yeah.
And their families are just completely spread out. And that's what helped wreck the family, is that we thought life outside the house was more important than life inside the home.
And, you know, we see that is not only with the working mother and father, but it's also in the sports-oriented children and activities-oriented, so that if moms are at home, they're frequently driving children from one sporting event or other extracurricular event after another. And meanwhile, the family rarely has a meal together.
That's so important. People ask, what practical things we can do? I said, try to be sure you have your family dinner together. Be sure you have at least one meal a day together, and at least, you know, six times a week to have a dinner together, because that's when everyone can share what's going on in their lives. They can have their family arguments, which are very important, mm-hmm. and they will grow closer together as a family because they'll be really concerned about each other's lives.
Yeah,
and
it's also when the time when parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles, when they're around, they tell the stories of the family. This is when children learn where their family came from, what's happened before they were born. And this is a very important part of the family meal together. This is a lot of very great business.
Yeah, Chesterton calls it the hard facts of experienced history. Mm-hmm. That's what they learned from their father and mother and their ancestors, the hard facts of experienced history. And that's the only place they're going to get it is when the family is together. They start experiencing their shared history.
Well, there's a quote that I'd like to give, and this gets at some of the issue of the government getting overly involved. This is something that Chesterton said in the Illustrated London News of June 9th, 1917. And I quote, "To control family life, for instance, you must have at least one police spy for every family. Once make a thing which any man may do a crime, and every man must have a shadowing detective as every man has a shadow. Yet this is precisely the preposterous end to which are directed most modern projects of social reform, which select things like drink, diet, hygiene, and sexual selection." And, you know, you think, wait a minute, there's not a policeman. It was just on the news. Your automobile is telling your insurance company how you drive. The computers in automobiles are sending information about how much a person speeds, how much they brake, you know, how much they drive. All that's going to their insurance company. And you think you're not being spied on? Your car is doing it. Or the IRS takes so much accounting of what's going on in the families. So again, it's big business helping other big businesses, and the government keeping extra eyes on small businesses. That's exactly mm-hmm. whom the IRS is targeting now. He was 100 and some years ahead of his time.
He called it exactly right. He said, you know, with when the family weakens, the government will start to insinuate itself into every aspect of our lives.
Yep.
And the big government will always have a partner with big business. If you recall, when the COVID shutdown started, we saw all these companies are going to step forward. They were all the big guns. You know, all the small businesses had to close, but the big ones all remained open. Mm-hmm. It was just devastating for small business.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So. And this is, and with that, we even see at this point, home ownership is on the decline.
Yes.
And the big corporations are trying to make it so, as Klaus Schwab has so famously written and said, you will own nothing and you will be happy. I don't think so. He's one of the founders of the World Economic Forum.
And exactly the opposite of what Chesterton and Belloc said, and
exactly.
What Pope Leo XIII said, is that property should, you know, widespread ownership should increase. More people should become owners. That's what makes you independent, and that's what makes you free. And if you're not an owner, you're going to be controlled by someone else.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
And Chesterton was always saying, the opposite of employment is not unemployment. The opposite of employment is independence. Because if you don't have to answer to someone else above you, that means you are independent. And the same thing with government. He says the best form of government is self-government, which means self-control. That's what freedom is self-government. Mm-hmm. So it all starts locally. Try to keep your dollars local. Try to keep your government control local, you know, get involved with local politics, because that's the only place where you can start to make a difference. There are no top-down solutions.
No, and the same thing in terms of business, like with these large corporations buying up houses, renting them, and turning them into smart houses. A smart house means there's computers throughout, monitoring how much electricity mm-hmm. and other energy you use.
Monitoring all your behavior, yeah.
Exactly.
The small laws.
And if you, you know, don't go along with what the owner that thinks is the appropriate use of energy, you can be cut off.
Yeah. Now, the sad thing, Father, is that the people who are sucked up into laws in all this are the people who are from broken families or don't have a family.
Right.
And they're becoming the majority, and that is, you know, is what is making the whole society sway in one direction.
Yes.
And the only way back, Chesterton says, is a return to the hearth and the home.
Yes.
That's where we have to drift back to the home.
Yeah.
And the home has to be a place that you control and not be controlled by someone else.
Exactly.
That's his solution, yeah.
One of the things that I know you've been involved in, in fact, you even got me in on the, a little tiny bit, is trying to start schools, a school system. You've succeeded in starting a nationwide school system that is very much oriented towards the family involvement and towards a proper education and clear thought. You call them Chesterton Academies.
Yeah, for some reason we named these schools after Chesterton.
Yes.
Yeah, go figure. Why?
Yeah.
Why would that have happened, right?
Yes.
But we had the privilege of having you as our commencement speaker, and I think just the third year of our first school that we started in 2008 back in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. Well, in 2014, a group of people came to us and they said they wanted to start a Chesterton Academy, and then right after that a few other people came to us, and this movement started growing. Our philosophy in starting the first Chesterton Academy was that we wanted something that was faithfully Catholic, had a classical integrated curriculum, and really taught our students how to think, and that it was affordable, which is one of the great scandals of private education is that it's out of reach for most people.
Though it's also a scandal in the public education.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're spending on average in the public schools $20,000 per student.
It is a scandal, you're right. They spend a lot more on public school students than we spend on our private school students.
Yes.
And we have a much better education system. So it's classical, they learn the great books. They learn Latin, they learn how to read and write, they study philosophy for 4 years, they study theology for 4 years, and along with, the important math and sciences which we teach, we also teach the arts. It's required. So all the students learn how to draw and paint, they all learn how to sing, they all learn how to get up on stage and act, because the arts are such an integrated part of the whole person, informing the whole person.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we have daily mass.
Yeah.
So the heart of our education is the incarnation. And it's not that we teach religion only in the theology class. We teach the Catholic faith in all the classes, because everything you teach is connected to the incarnation.
Yep. Yep.
And so this model that we created, which was all we want to do is start one school, God has blessed us, and this coming year we'll have over 60 schools around the country, and another 15 are in the pipeline.
But one of the important things about these schools is that it's families in various localities who are coming together and saying, this is how we want our children educated. It's not you going in with a bunch of cavalry and covered wagons taking over.
No,
it's where it comes from, the families seeking, how can we help our children get a proper Catholic education?
Now, we haven't started in the schools. All these people have come to us, and it's always started by a core group of families who love their children. They know that education is messed up right now. They know that their children are not being served in the schools that exist, mm-hmm. and they see our model and they say, we want that. And we said, this is how you do it. We show you how to do it. And the network keeps growing. It's very exciting. It's a grassroots movement. It's changed from the bottom up, which is the only way we're going to change our culture right now.
I think that's right. Now, let me ask you this, because I hear this, sometimes I've been with teachers in the government schools. And they'll say, once you have a discipline problem, you just send them to the public schools. Is that what you do?
No, we don't. We actually take on the challenge of discipline. And what's amazing is that we teach our children what's right and wrong, and that helps discipline right there, because they know when they have swerve off the right track. Our discipline record is very good at all mm-hmm. these schools. Mm-hmm. But you know what's interesting is that it's kind of the opposite. A lot of the problem kids get sent to us because there's no place else for them to go. And either we can reform them or we can't, you know. Yeah. But we've had great success stories of kids who've come out of our school and just had a complete 180 degrees turn in their lives because we surround them not only with the love and joy of the atmosphere at our schools, but we teach them what's right. And their minds get excited when they learn how to think.
Yeah. And as I recall from St. Priscilla's Grammar School, Sister Ida did not hesitate to deal with kids that had discipline problems. And that was just addressed. They didn't kick the kids out to the public schools. They kept them and worked with them.
That's classic. St. Priscilla's and Sister Ida.
Yeah.
That's a really good script right there.
And she was from Minnesota.
Oh, even better.
But it was, these are the kinds of things that, I think we have to look at. Some people are taking the option, well, it's so bad, it's the end of the world. I don't think that's the Chesterton option. I don't think that's the Catholic option.
No, not at all.
Yeah, it's to say, I don't know if it's the end of the world. That's not my business.
Right.
I'm going to be judged by whether I'm faithful in helping to bring correction to the mess that the world is bringing.
You know, as far as the big picture, the way I look at it is that our civilization is just like any single soul. You can even move towards God or away from God. Mm-hmm. And our society right now is going in the wrong direction. It could collapse at some point. Mm-hmm. There's been other great civilizations that have collapsed, and the world has actually continued after the collapses of those civilizations.
Matter of fact, I would say every civilization had collapsed. The longest lasting one is the Christian one,
yep.
Which lasts so long as it stays Christian.
That's it. And so my attitude is, if it does fall apart, we have to start rebuilding it right now. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, let's start rebuilding it, and if things turn around, we're going to be at the forefront of getting it right.
Another one, I really like this quote from Chesterton in his The New Witness, August 26, 1921. My dad still had another 5 months to be born yet. what it said there was, false science and quack psychology is being used to destroy the natural authority and Christian tradition of the home. Do you have anything you want to add to that?
It's hard to add something to a perfect quotation. False science and quack psychology is undermining the normal conditions of the home. That's exactly what we're up against. The strangest, weirdest ideas are coming in to destroy our families.
Yeah.
The idea of supporting, the idea of changing your sex, and getting that backed up by official science, it's unimaginable. And parents not having the ability to protect their children against it.
And the way that the quack psychology gets used to say, well, if your kid doesn't have that, sex change operation, then they'll commit suicide, where it's just the opposite, fact. Yeah. If they do have it, they are 42% likely to commit suicide. They are, I don't know if they're ignorant or if they are lying. I don't know which. But is flat out wrong either way.
Yeah, well, Chesterton called it 100 years ago. It's absolutely amazing, prophetic, but, what he saw was this rise of officialism, of, a scientific explanation of everything, which is always a godless explanation. And it's a godless explanation that comes up with the quack, mm-hmm. the quack theories.
Yeah, and it's one of the things, with Chesterton being the apostle of common sense, a lot of people need to pay attention to the common sense God has given them and not be overwhelmed by the government, big business, their advertising, the school industry. You know, some of the quackery that is used to pass for education. Use good sense to, you know, be the parents of your children. This is crucial.
And I think most normal people still realize this, but they feel helpless. They feel helpless because, you know, their kids are going to a school that they have no control over, the strange things that are being taught. They're getting inundated with bad media and bad entertainment. But the fact is, there's lots of parents that feel the same way. And that's why this idea in Catholic social teaching of solidarity, of parents, Catholic parents and Catholic families coming together, they can show some strength together in the way they, you know, influence how the government tries to destroy them. Just think, it was solidarity that brought down the Soviet Union. Remember that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I think to remember that, as you said earlier, it's not the big federal government. We focus on the presidential election.
Right.
It's important. It has an important role. But your school board, your local judge, you are much more likely to meet the local judge, not always in pleasant circumstances.
Right.
And you ought to know those candidates better than you know the presidential, senatorial, and representative ones.
Yeah, most people don't know the names of their city council.
They don't.
And those are the people that affect them most directly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this is where becoming involved in this level of care for our families and get the local government to say, stay out of improper influence on my family and let us, help us to be left alone to build our family up.
Yep, and that's how you really create a local community. If you take care of your family, then you can start taking care of your neighbor too. And, and it all starts from that center and the ripple effect goes from there. Chesterton called it, and he continues to be right 100 years ago. We keep proving him right about these things.
Absolutely. I want to encourage you, if you're interested in this, go to the Society of Gilbert Keith Chesterton. Their website is chesterton.org, chesterton.org. If you are interested in knowing if there is a Chesterton Academy near you, you can also go to chestertonacademy.org and find out more about if they're close by or if you wanted to start one, what you'd need to do to study to see if that would be appropriate for your area.
Yeah, Father, I should say the website for all the schools is chestertonschools.org.
Chestertonschools.org.
Yeah, chestertonacademy.org is just one of the schools.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I see.
That's okay.
So chestertonschools.org.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. So these are some things that we can do and rebuild our families. But we have to take a break right now. We'll come back in a couple of minutes. We want to get some of your questions as well as those of our studio audience and your comments, so please stay with us. First of all, I want to let you know that it's possible to join Father Miguel Marie, MFVA, one of our own friars here, on a pilgrimage to the shrines of Italy and the Amalfi Coast of Italy. That'll be September 19th to October 1st of 2024. You can visit Assisi to see the tombs of St. Francis and St. Clair, which are really quite beautiful. You can also see the relics of St. Thomas Aquinas and St. Timothy in Otorno and in Termoli, and then visit San Giovanni Rotondo to see the confessional used by St. Padre Pio. Then visit the Amalfi Coast and Sorrento before going on to Pompeii and then Rome. If you want to get more information about this, go to visitationpilgrimages.com or call 256-347-1475. 256-347-1475. Ready for some questions?
I am ready.
Well, let's start off with Thomas in Kingsport, Tennessee. Thomas, what do you have for us today?
Yes, Father, I have a question for Mr. Alquist, and it is, how has the separation of church and state contributed to the breakdown of the family?
That's a great question, and the answer is it has contributed mightily to the breakdown of the family. It's one of the strange fictions of our laws, because most other countries, they don't have this same problem with the schools. You can actually, religious schools are underwritten in part by government mm-hmm. funds.
Right.
It's a strange, unique problem we have mm-hmm. where God has been banished from the classroom as a result of that principle. Mm-hmm. And what we need more now is the separation of state and schools.
Uh-huh.
That would be a good solution to that problem. Take the state out of the schools and let them be run by local private interests, and that would raise the level of quality of our education, and the kids would start learning something. Right now, our public school system is almost a total failure.
Yeah, the reading level, you know, at eighth grade tends to be pretty low. And across the board, not every school district by any means, but in, you know, the average, the reading level, mathematics level has gone way down. It seems that some of the experiments with new forms of teaching math are not helping students to add, multiply, divide, and subtract.
Chesterton says that a child in school today is subjected to educational philosophies that are younger than he is. So we keep trying new experiments on our children, and they keep failing, so we try a new experiment, and they just keep failing. Now, yeah. Add to that the fact that we all lost a year of education to COVID, and multiply that, because we actually lost 2 years of education, because what our students learned the year before they got shut out of the schools, they basically forgot that too. Mm-hmm. So our kids are getting into high school right now without knowing how to read and write.
Yeah, yeah, this is a problem. And I think, you know, the important thing to keep in mind is that separation of church and state is not a law. It is a judicial decision from the Supreme Court in 1947, and then it was repeated, I think, in 48. And this was a decision made by Supreme Court Justice Hugo Black, who himself had been a Ku Klux Klan leader here in Alabama. He was a major force in the Masonic Lodge, and he wanted to make sure that Catholic schools in New Jersey did not get any kind of aid, such as allowing Catholic school kids to ride the public school bus. That's where that all started from, and that they couldn't get any books on math and science from the public schools. And it ends up becoming an attempt by, in his mind and in the way it's interpreted, to protect the government from the church. When Thomas Jefferson had written a letter about it, the concept was to protect the church from the state. But Hugo Black made it an issue of protecting the state from the church, and making sure that the church did not influence education. And it's gone kablooey.
And we've seen just insane applications of that principle.
Oh, yeah.
In our school, we do get public funds to underwrite certain textbooks if they're not religious, right?
Right.
So our local school district, which was supposed to underwrite our textbooks, said that Chaucer, Dostoevsky, and Beowulf were considered religious books.
So they brothers, won't so they underwrite won't, that.
They won't underwrite Canterbury Tales or the Brothers Karamazov or Beowulf, because they consider them religious books.
Yep, there you go. We have a question from our studio audience. Ma'am, where are you from?
My name's Haley. I'm from St. Louis. My question, I guess I would like more a comment on. I read a quote a while back from G.K. Chesterton on feminism, which you mentioned earlier. He stated, I agree with the feminists that there is tyranny in the male-dominated world, but the feminists are not destroying the tyranny. They are trying to destroy the womanhood. And I wanted to see if you had any extra thoughts on that one.
Thank you. That's a great great Chesterton quote. He says, yeah, he wants to destroy the tyranny, but they want to destroy the womanhood. His comment about feminism is that it's against all the feminine things. He says he understands that there have been certainly cases of men oppressing women, of women being poorly treated in one degree or another. But the solution is not for women to become men. The solution is for men to treat women better and to protect the most important thing that women do, the one thing that women can do that men cannot do, which is be a mother. Yes. And so feminism has been an attack on motherhood because it's an attempt to be able to do all the things that men can do. Well, Chesterton says women have always been able to do all the things men can do, and they usually have to do it if men are not doing it themselves, right? But the one thing that men cannot do that women can do, feminists are against that thing, which is motherhood.
Yeah. There's another element, too, that you see where it's gotten even beyond that to greater absurdity, where the leading women's athletes are biological men in the college circuit. And last year, President Biden appointed a biological man as the woman of the year. Now, this seems to be a destruction of womanhood, that women can't even be the woman of the year. It's very, very odd, to say the least.
It seems to me that Chesterton said something about this. Now, Chesterton predicted all the strange perversions that are affecting our world right now. But the fact that he even saw the transsexual thing happen is the most incredible thing. This is from 1934. The modern novel has gone through a series of stages, of which the first might be stamped with the general motto of boys will be boys. Then came the earnest late Victorian novel of emancipation and the ethics of sex, which might bear the motto, girls will be boys. And finally, we are left with the very latest psychological and neurotic sort of novel, which seems to carry the cognizance of boys won't be boys.
Mm-hmm.
1934.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this is something that, again, you could see the logic of the other side and just let that logic follow its course, and it gets us to where we are now.
Yeah, yeah.
We have another question from our studio audience. Sir, where are you from?
From Marietta, Georgia, sir.
Good to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And what's your question or comment?
I'd like to take it up just a notch and just put this to the masculine sense of the word. Okay? And it deals with a line that I'm sure you two gentlemen have heard before. You just wait until your father comes home. My question to you guys is, what's happened to the father? Where has he disappeared to?
Thank you.
Well, it's one of the things, of course, that Chesterton did talk about, the fact that when the father's been taken out of the home to the point where his career, his business is more important than what happens at the home, he's lost his perspective. Obviously, the father has to have a trade to support the family. And Chesterton says that's a key role of the father, is to support and protect the family. But if the career, if the job is more important than the family, at a certain point, that's all that the father pursues anymore. And he stops really caring for his family because he stops being involved in his family. Mm-hmm. And at some point, he loses interest in his family. And that's what's happening. It's part of that mentality I was talking about earlier. We think that life, the most important part of life is outside the home. No, the most important part of life is inside the home.
I think there's another dynamic that I'm hearing from young men, that they are afraid to even get married because if they have children, he loses a lot of his rights. In fact, the father of a child does not have any say legally as to whether or not his child survives his mother's womb. He has no legal say on that. That's only up to the mother. And then guys are concerned that if, you know, the marriage goes sour and I get a divorce, I have to pay child support, but I don't even get to see my kids. Why would I bother? And this is another kind of a line of concern that a lot of young men have. You add to it that in order to promote girls going into a number of traditionally male roles that are lucrative, to say the least, to go into science and business and things, a lot of times in the schools, boys are neglected or even put down. And there's a book called The Boy Crisis. I strongly recommend it. It's written by an old-time 1960s feminist man who recognized you can't make women's lives improved at the expense of worsening boys' lives. And that's exactly, you know, boys' suicides are higher right now, and a lot of other factors that he talks about. I recommend that book.
I'd like to point out one other thing, too, and that is that as a result of feminism, men have responded by basically rebelling against women. Mm-hmm. Chesterton talks about this. Men are basically lazy, and if they can get someone else to do the work for them, they'll let them. And if women keep wanting to replace the man's responsibilities, the men will let them because they are lazy unless they have that female force behind them telling them you need to take care of this. And that's why that dynamic between husband and wife is so important in raising a family.
Yep.
But men will abscond if they don't have the kind of truly feminine support rather than feminist unsupport.
But as the question goes, they also are there to support the wife so that the children don't try to run herd over her.
That's right.
That he has to be absolutely firm in supporting his wife against the kids run wild. And it's that mutual back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
We have another call. We have Laura in Fort Worth in the Republic of Texas. Laura, what can we do for you?
Hi, Father Mitch and Mr. Alquist. Thank you so much for taking my call. So I have a neighbor who has made a comment that by using our tax dollars for perhaps school choice and other things that we could end up with an oligarchy. I was wondering if you could speak to that.
Okay, so in Texas just passed a school choice bill, correct?
Not yet. We're looking for it.
So the idea in a lot of these school choice bills is that the amount of tax dollars for the education of a child follow this child no matter which school that child goes to. So will that mean that if the money goes with a student, say a Texas student can use that money for tuition at a Chesterton Academy, Chesterton School, then will that give the government say over what you teach in your school?
Yeah, and that's the concern. There's no evidence yet that that will happen, but it's just something you have to be on the lookout for.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, government money always comes with strings attached, even though it's our money.
Yeah.
But it's funny how we give our money and it comes back with strings attached. But for the most part, it looks like these school choice bills, as they have been enacted around the country, have not come with controls over what is taught.
Yeah.
It's just something we have to be aware of.
Exactly. And that, and as voters and as citizens involved in knowing our state representatives and state senators, it's very important to stay on top of that. Don't let the government get away with, you know, being beyond what you desire. We have Gene in Kansas. Gene, what can we do for you today?
Thank you, Father Mitch, Mr. Almquist. Chesterton's prognostications appear to me to be so accurate, they seem to be almost divinely inspired. Are there any claims by him or others of divine revelation? Do you fellas consider him to be a modern-day prophet?
Thank you, Gene. That's an interesting question.
Well, he's a prophet in the sense that the things that he has predicted have come true. Mm-hmm. He's also a prophet in the sense that, like Isaiah, he's telling us this is where things will end if you keep going on this path.
Right.
He's not telling you this is going to happen no matter what. Mm-hmm. Every prophet is saying the same thing. Repent. Mm-hmm. Turn back. Do not stay on the path that you're on, because it will lead to destruction.
Yep.
But if you repent, if you turn around and get off that path, you can still save your soul. And yep. And Isaiah and prophets like Chesterton are both prophets of hope, because they're telling us this is in our control and we can still change the direction we're going. And that's hope and that's joy, and that's not doom and that's not gloom.
Yeah. When I read Chesterton, I don't have a sense that the Lord was directly inspiring these thoughts, but rather another dynamic is going on. He was absolutely brilliant, and he could look at something and just quickly think ahead. It's just like some mathematics geniuses can see a formula and just finish it off, and or physicists can take and finish it off and give you new insights. Whereas Chesterton is looking at the reality and seeing if it goes this way, this is what's going to happen. If it goes this way, this will happen. He could see the different angles splitting off from each other. And when they look close at the outset, he could see that the trajectory took them far, far away from each other. And I think that was his genius, using that ability to think. We need to learn how to do more of that.
Yeah, and, you know, and what we thank God for is that Chesterton, with his really divine talents, because they're God-given gifts that he was given, like Mozart or Bach, and his ability to handle concepts and create words in an artistic and beautiful manner, that he used his great gifts for the glory of God. And that's one of the things that makes you feel that there's this divine quality to him, because he is so richly inspired by God, and there's this goodness that comes from him too. But he's not a prophet in the same sense as an Old Testament prophet,
right.
Spirit filled in that way. But I will say he did have mystical experiences, and that's clear from his writings and from his life, that he had insights that God gave him.
Again, we want you to find out more about what he says on family in this book, The Story of the Family, G.K. Chesterton, on the Only State That Creates and Loves Its Own Citizens. It's edited by Dale Alquist, our guest. And you can get it at ewtnrc.com, where it's item number 4477. Again, to find out more about Chesterton Schools Network, go to chestertonschoolsnetwork.org. You can find out more about it then. Dale, thank you so much for coming all the way down here. We appreciate it. And may the Lord bless you and all of your families, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
We can bring Dale to you and all the past series that he's done and all the other programs we have available only because the network is brought to you by you, keeping us in between your gas bill, your electric bill, and your cable bill. Thank you for your support, and God bless you all.